Monday, June 30th. Commemoration of St. Paul. The Epistle from the Letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. Brethren, I give you to understand that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For neither did I receive it of man, nor did I learn it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and I made progress in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more abundantly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased him, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I condescended not to flesh and blood. Neither went I to Jerusalem to the apostles who were before me, but I went into Arabia, and again I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I tarried with him 15 days. But other of the apostles I saw none, saving James the brother of the Lord. Now the things which I write to you, behold, before God, I lie not. Haydock Commentary. Paul here alludes to his being a Pharisee, as he himself mentions more openly in Acts 23:6. This sect always distinguished itself by its zeal for ancient traditions, which shows evidently that he was very far from being instructed in a religion of which he was the sworn enemy. Nor since his conversion did he apply for instruction. What he delivered he learned not of man, but of God. I condescended not to flesh and blood. Literally, I did not acquiesce to flesh and blood. I had no regard to temporal friends or advantages. Some expounded, I did not think it necessary to consult the other apostles, men who were my countrymen. And so it follows, I came not to Jerusalem to the apostles to be instructed by them, having been instructed by Christ himself. So far from receiving his apostleship from the other apostles, he saw none of them till he had spent 3 years in announcing the word of God. In this epistle to the Galatians, St. Paul treats the same matter as in his epistle to the Romans. To the former he writes less exactly and more briefly, as very rude and uncivilized people. To the latter with more precision and with greater copiousness, as replenished with all knowledge. Then 3 years after I came to Jerusalem to see, and as St. John Chrysostom says, out of respect to make a visit to, Peter, but stayed only at Jerusalem 15 days, and saw none of the apostles except him, and James the brother or cousin of our Lord, so that I was yet unknown by face to the Christian churches in Judea. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 22. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and simple as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up in councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and before kings for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they shall deliver you up, take no thought how or what to speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what to speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. The brother also shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall put them to death. And you shall be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he that shall persevere unto the end, he shall be saved. Haydock Commentary. Wise as serpents and innocent as doves. It is a proverbial way of speaking, and an admonition to be circumspect and discreet, but harmless, innocent, and sincere in all our actions and dealings. Simple, that is, harmless, plain, sincere, and without guile. I send you in the midst of wolves. Although Christ sent his apostles not only against wolves, but even into the very midst of wolves, still he commands them to behave with the meekness of sheep and simplicity of doves. Thus he evinces the greatness of his power in overcoming the wolves by the sheep, which were continually exposed to be devoured and torn in pieces by them, still never failing to change the fierce nature of the ravenous wolf into their own nature, in mildness and innocence. As long as we retain the nature of sheep, we easily overcome our adversaries. But no sooner are we changed into wolves than we become the derision of our enemies, the supreme pastor withdrawing from us the powerful protection of his grace and leaving us to the misery of our own weakness. Our Savior, in his infinite wisdom, knew full well the nature of things. Passion was not to be overcome by passion, but by meekness only. Thus the apostles did when the Jews, having apprehended them, said, Have we not again and again commanded you not to teach in this name? Acts chapter 4. Though they had the power of working the greatest miracles, yet they let nothing harsh, nothing severe escape them, either in words or actions. With simplicity they made answer, "Judge ye if it be just to hear you rather than God," and at the same time showed their prudence, saying, "We cannot but speak what we have heard and seen." So says St. John Chrysostom. He compares them to sheep not only because of their innocence, but also because they were sent unarmed and destitute of all human support. He tells them to be wise that they may guard against the snares of their enemies. The prudence of the serpent is celebrated because, when it cannot escape, it strives at least to preserve its head free from hurt, whilst it leaves the rest of the body exposed. Thus, Christians who have Christ for their head must preserve his faith and religion, though with the loss of everything else. Christ, in the following verse, warns his apostles of the many troubles and persecutions to which the preaching of the faith would expose them. Chrysostom assigns several reasons for him choosing to foretell them such sufferings. First, that he might show that he had the gift of prophecy. Second, that they might not think such evils came upon them on account of his weakness. Third, that knowing beforehand the great trials to which they were to be exposed, they might not be discouraged when they happened. He tells them that by suffering with fortitude and constancy, they bear testimony of him, as men must know, that it is not any vain thing for which they are prepared to die. That the apostles might not be discouraged at the description which our Savior gave them in the two preceding verses of the troubles which they would have to sustain in their ministry, he now endeavors to console them. "When you are called before councils," says he, "do not think how or what to speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what to speak." A truly comfortable thought for all who should afterwards engage in the ministry of Christ. Whatever troubles, whatever persecutions may fall to your lot, even if you should be cited before kings and councils to answer for your faith, do not be troubled. You engage in the conflict, I will fight. You speak, but I will tell you what you ought to say. He that shall persevere unto the end shall be saved. We are here told that to be saved, it is not sufficient that we were once virtuous, we must persevere to the end. We are also assured of the same truth in Ezekiel, in chapter 3, verse 20, "If the just man shall turn away from his justice and shall commit iniquity, he shall die in his sins, and his justice which he hath done shall not be remembered." Some, says St. John Chrysostom, are accustomed to be fervent at the beginning of their conversion, but afterwards grow remiss. Of what advantage are seeds that flourish in the beginning, but afterwards wither and die?